Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. God uses storms to mold our character. Our job is to hold on to our faith in Christ no matter what. Sometimes God takes his people into the tempest to teach them what can't be taught in comfort. Today, lessons from some wind-whipped water. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Erwin Lutzer's series is on seven convincing miracles. Today, we turn again to John chapter 6 and see Jesus, Lord of Nature, the Lord whose will for us is sometimes very clear.
Lesson number one. Sometimes Christ commands us to row into the storm. He commands us to do it. In the passage in Matthew, we have that Jesus made them to get into a boat, and he said to them, "Cross over to the other side where I will meet you." Could it be any clearer than that? Students from Moody Bible Institute, and we have some of them here today, constantly puzzled about the will of God. They're not the only ones. We all are from time to time. What is God's will? I wish that he'd come out of heaven and tell me what to do. Well, I want you to know that in this instance, Jesus told them what to do. Get into this boat, go to that side of the lake. Could it be any clearer? And in the midst of obeying Christ, the most awful storm they had ever encountered. So often people think, you know, that I'm in a storm. I must be out of God's will. It can't be God's will that I be here in Chicago. Look at what has happened to me since I've come. No, my friend, you might be here at the command of Christ, or exactly where the storm is. Always remember that. You see, we tend to think that the quietest and the most tranquil path is always the most holy path. That is not true. Sometimes Christ asks us to go into a storm, and we're in the storm, in the eye of the storm, in the center of the will of God. You say, "But Pastor Lutzer, you don't know my story. I have a storm that I created. It's one thing, you know, a storm over which I have no control, but I am the one who did not obey the counsel of a pastor or my parents, and I am in a mess of my own making. It is my sin, it is my rebellion, and that's the storm I'm in." So what does Jesus do in a case like that? Say, "Well, you know, you created the storm, so, you know, you go ahead and blow with it." In other words, that's your trouble. Of course not. He doesn't abandon his people even in storms that they themselves have created. Just ask Jonah. He was in a storm because of disobedience. It says in chapter 1, verse 6, "And the Lord hurled a great storm upon the sea." Why? Because Jonah was disobedient. And look at how God prepared a fish for him. Why? Because there was a disobedient prophet who had to get back into God's will, and God went through all that work to get him back. But you know what did it? It was the fish and Jonah crying to God in the fish. It was the equivalent of bottoming out. It was there that he finally said, "I will return to the Lord. I will pay my vows. I'm finally going to get my act together." It was a prayer of repentance. Listen to me, my dear friend. You are in a storm of your own making. You know, there are some people, if you are, I mean, there are some people, you know, they create a storm because of the wrong decisions, and then they keep on making decisions that just keeps making the wind more powerful. They go from storm to storm. They go from squall to storm to hurricane. What you need to do is to pause, and you need to repent, and you need to say, "God, I am here because of my own making. This is my sin, but I cry out to you, and I yield to you, and I dedicate myself to you. Father, do in me that which is well-pleasing in the midst of this mess." Jonah would tell us that. Adam would tell us that too. Adam blew it badly. You know, he really created a mess, and he had a good opportunity, supposedly, to make things right, but he disobeyed God. And in the midst of that storm, God already had salvation planned, and he had animal skins to clothe Adam and Eve, symbolic of redemption. Our God is so great that if you're in a storm of your own making and you repent, God is going to come along and he's going to help you too. You say, well, Pastor Lutzer, could these disciples have drowned in this storm? Not in this one, maybe in another, but they couldn't have drowned. No. Two reasons. First of all, Jesus told them to get into the boat and go to the other side. I mean, you're talking about the Son of God. If he says you're going to arrive on the other side, you're going to arrive on the other side. You know, these guys could have enjoyed that storm. Really. And you know, if you believe in the sovereignty of God like I do and like I'm trying to convince you to do, you'll have to always believe that if you're to be hung, you'll never drown. You'll never drown. Because, am I going too fast for some of you? Because your life is ultimately in God's hands, and God had work for these disciples to do. Lesson number one, God sometimes commands us to row into the storm. You're going through a storm today. You may not necessarily be out of God's will. You may be in the center of his will. That's where the big storms come. Lesson number two, Christ can see us in the storm. Christ can see us in the storm. Now, Jesus was on the Golan Heights praying, and they were in the midst of the storm. Could they see him? Could they say, I see Jesus up there? Not a chance, because it was dark and it was windy, and they had their hands full trying to keep that ship, that little boat going. No, they couldn't. Could he see them? Oh, yes. Yes, Jesus knew the longitude and the latitude of that little boat. He knew exactly the height of the waves. He knew the speed of the wind. He knew intricately the strength of every one of those little boards that comprised that little ship. He knew that with perfect, unerring knowledge. And he knew it, and he knew it all in detail. Now let's talk about your storm and your little boat. Let's talk about your little boat. Does Jesus understand you in your loneliness? Does he understand your heartache? Does he understand your disappointment? Is he cognizant of people who have done you injustice? Is he aware of how you were deceived? Is he aware of all that? He has perfect knowledge of your little boat, my friend, today. He knows more about you than your doctor could ever possibly know. He was on hand when you were created, and he knows every single cell in your body and what really is wrong, as opposed to some of the folks who've been telling you what's wrong. He knows all that. Omniscience guarantees that he knows, and omnipresence guarantees that the will of God will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. Now, Matthew records that Jesus came to them at the fourth watch, which is to say 4 a.m, when it was very dark. And, you know, they were rowing since the night before. And he came to them in the nick of time when they were absolutely weary and didn't know whether or not they could go on. And have you ever noticed that Jesus sometimes does indeed let us hang on until almost the very end? A friend of mine says that God invites us to live on the edge. For example, you remember the story of Abraham. There was a ram that was caught in the thicket that Abraham could offer instead of offering his son Isaac. But let me tell you, when did Abraham see that ram? Did he see the ram when he woke early in the morning, the Bible says, kissed Sarah goodbye, and then began the 3-day journey to Moriah? Did he see the ram then? No. Did he see it as he and Isaac were going up the mountain? Did he see the ram at that time? No. Did he see it when he built the altar? No. Did he see it when he laid Isaac on the altar? No. He only saw it when he took the knife in his hand and was about to slay his son. It is then that the angel of the Lord spoke to him and said, Abraham. And it is then that he opened his eyes and there was a ram caught in the bushes. I say to you today who are weary with life, there may be a ram in the bushes. But I want you to know today that Christ knows and he sees you. And you know, when push comes to shove, as it does so often in life, and we cannot see God, we can't see him in the darkness. Some of you are going through darkness that is so thick that you cannot see him. It is not as important that we see God as that he sees us. It was not that crucial that the disciples should see Jesus. It was incredibly crucial that Jesus should see the disciples. And he did. And he did. Two lessons. First, we have learned that Christ sometimes commands us to row into storms. Secondly, that Jesus actually sees us in our storms. And thirdly, We have learned that Christ, we're learning that Christ is in the midst of our storms. He's in the midst of them. He comes to them walking on the water. He comes and they think it's a ghost. You know, when you're in darkness, you can't tell the difference between a friend or a foe, between Christ or a ghost. And so Jesus is walking, you see, and the disciples are confused, and they do not understand that the object that they fear is actually the person who's going to help them. And sometimes the thing that we are most scared of, that which we fear the most, turns out to be the very thing that blesses us. Dr. Harry Ironside was pastor here at the Moody Church for 17 and a half years. There's only one pastor in Moody Church's history that has been there longer than Ironside was. But he used to tell the story of how he would get down on his hands and knees and play with his son, I believe it was. And he would, Dr. Ironside would pretend that he was a bear. We've all done things like this. And the little child would run from corner to corner. And it was all pretend stuff, of course. And eventually the little boy would say, "You're not a bear, you're my papa." And he'd just run into his father's arms. Now Ironside said, "Isn't that true of us as well? The thing that we fear may be God trying to put his arms around us. It isn't a bear, it's our papa." I speak to you today sensitively, but I'm talking to those of you who have gone through periods of loneliness and despair. Maybe it's because you've lost a loved one. Maybe it is because your doctor has told you about some things in your body that are very debilitating and long-term issues. Maybe it is because of this sense of injustice. Maybe it is because people have wronged you. Maybe it is because of a vocational storm that you are going through. Maybe it is a financial storm. Let me ask you this question. Is it possible that in the midst of this storm, it is actually Jesus reaching out and putting his arms around you in a way that you have never experienced before? It may well be. Because Christ is coming to us in the midst of our storms and saying to us lovingly, "It is I. Be not afraid." It's Christ. It's Christ who comes to us in our storms. Let me give you a fourth lesson. The fourth lesson is that the water that threatens to be over our heads, the water that threatens to be over our heads is under Christ's feet. He is walking on the storm. He is walking on the waves. You know that Matthew records the story of Peter that we know so well. Peter began to walk and go to Jesus because Jesus invited him to. And then the scripture says that when Peter began to see the waves, he then began to sink. And then Jesus scooped up and lifted him up, even as the young people showed us. Now, the simple fact is this, that Peter also was able to walk on the water as long as he was looking at Jesus. As long as Peter was looking at Jesus, he could have walked from one side of Galilee to the other side of Galilee, just as Jesus was doing. But he began to look at the waves, which is always our temptation. This is a parenthesis, but I need to add it. I have a question for you. What was Peter's biggest problem? Was Peter's biggest problem the speed of the wind? Was Peter's biggest problem the size of the waves? Was that really his problem? No, it was neither the speed of the wind. Was it the fact that an object such as us, we cannot walk on the water because we tend to sink, some more than others, but we tend to go down? Was that part of his problem? Was it a scientific problem? No. Peter's greatest problem and your greatest problem and my greatest problem is always one of faith. That is always our problem. It is always looking to Christ that's the issue. We're going to be hearing a lot about YK2 and some of the things that attend to what is known as the millennium bug. And you're going to have some people who are going to say it's no big deal, and you're going to have some people who are going to say sell everything and move to Arizona and then board the place up with fences and attack dogs and a couple of guns because the world is coming to an end. So somewhere between A and B, you and I are going to find ourselves. We must act prudently, but listen. Our greatest danger will be to not see God. not see God in the midst of whatever difficulties are created. That's our greatest danger. To be distracted over this or over that, and to forget that, did you know, by the way, you can say you heard it here, God knew all about the millennium bug before the world was created. His accurate knowledge of these computers, 6 billion embedded chips. Joe, I've never seen an embedded chip. 6 million, did I say? 6 billion. Well, let's make it 10. We're in a good mood today. We don't know how many. But Christ does. Christ does. And he knows, 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 and he knows. And he walks with us through the storms that exist. The raging waters are made still. Isn't this very interesting that in the first part of the 6th chapter, you have Jesus asking everyone to sit on the grass, it says, so that he could feed the multitude with 5 loaves and 2 fish. It is there you see the good shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. There is where you have the green pastures. Here, a few verses later, you have the still waters. You have raging waters made still by the good shepherd. And in both instances, he is with his people. He's with his people when the sun is shining and when the bread is endless and when the ships are going and the trucks are moving. And then he is also with his people when all that is over and nothing rages except the storm. He's with you. But I need to ask you whether or not you know the captain of that ship. Have you personally come to know him as Savior? That's really the issue. Tony Evans, who many of you know about and who listen to him on the radio, he told a very relevant story about he and his wife going to Alaska, as my wife and I did a number of years ago, and they were on a cruise ship. And then one day as they were going through that Alaska passageway, the captain came on the intercom and said, "We are leaving now and we are headed into a storm, so just beware because the ship is going to feel its effects, and possibly the passengers too." So anyway, as they were moving along, within an hour or so, suddenly the ship began to go from side to side, and you have all this jostling, and Tony's wife was angry with the captain. So she picked up the phone in their cabin and called and said, "I'd like to speak to the captain," and of course she couldn't, but she spoke to one of his assistants and says, "Why is it that if you knew that there was a storm coming, why is it that you didn't wait? Why did you go into the storm?" And the assistant said, "Well, I'll relay your question to the captain and get back to you." And so a few moments later, the assistant called back and said to her, "The captain told me to tell you 2 things. First of all, lady, just relax." Which probably, if we can read between the lines, was, "Would you mind your own business?" But anyway. First of all, just relax. And secondly, please remember that this ship was built with this storm in mind. And so I say to you today who are battling the storms, you receive Christ as Savior, you're on the ship, and it's stormy. And you can't see God, and it is dark. And the winds are relentless and endless. Will you remember that this ship was built with this storm in mind? Let us pray. Our Father, thank you for the disciples. Thank you for their unbelief, which gives us hope, and their faith, which makes our faces glow. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that there is no storm, but that you do not know the strength of the winds and the height of the wave. You know our weaknesses. You know the frailty of our craft. You know, Father, all of our anxieties. Nothing is hidden from you, and we thank you that you have the ability to take us safely to the other side. And long before we were born, long before the earth was created, this boat was built with our storms in mind. Grant us the faith to see it, the ability to rejoice in it, and to know that you, O Father, are our captain. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, my friend, this is Pastor Lutzer, and I don't know how I can say it more clearly. But when we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, because He went through the valley of the shadow of death, because He went ahead of us and died, and then was raised to prove that indeed He has strength and power over death because the grave could not hold Him. When we believe in Jesus, we are believing in someone who had our storm, our death, our sickness, our trials in mind. And I don't think that it is possible for us to understand the extent to which Jesus is adequate for our need. I realize that we struggle, we fret, we pray, we keep praying the same prayers over and over again. And what Jesus wants us to do is to finally give up our thrashing, so to speak, and to simply commit ourselves, our future, to Him. To give Him situations that we have wrestled with, to give Him people that we've tried to change, and of course we've not been able to change them. To give us situations that appear to be over our head, because as I pointed out in the message, the water that seems to be over our head is under the feet of the Son of God. He is King of Kings, He is Lord of Lords, and He is able to direct our boat to the shore. Trust Him as your Savior. Know that He is the one who has gone ahead of us as the forerunner, entering into heaven. And today He says to you and to me, be patient, because even as I overcame, so you shall overcome, and someday you shall be with me forever. Take heart. Your boat is being battered. Life is tough. We have many unanswered questions. But thank God that we belong to one who's been through it all and whom we can follow to the very end. The first two miracles that we've had in this series of messages on the miracles that should convince you, they were private miracles. Jesus turns water into wine. Only the servants who drew the water knew, and the disciples. Jesus heals a nobleman's son, and he knows about it for sure, and his servants know about it. But generally speaking, it wasn't even known that Jesus spoke the word, and 20 miles away, a son was healed. Now what Jesus does is a miracle publicly, and this irritates the Jews, and it is this irritation that is going to fester and fester and eventually lead Jesus all the way to the cross.
The powers that be saw Jesus as a threat, but the people He healed saw Him as sent from God. In our day, He is still able to do what seems impossible.
My dear friend, don't be discouraged. It doesn't matter the thickness of the walls. It doesn't matter how deeply they've gone down into the foundation. None of that matters. All that matters is that Jesus speak the word, and the walls fall down, and you end up doing what you thought was impossible.
Seven Convincing Miracles is a series by Pastor Lutzer designed to build your faith. And these eight messages can help you as you reach out to share your faith with others you know. Call right now at 1-888-218-9337. That's 1-888-218-9337. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. When requesting your CDs, send a gift of any amount to further the outreach of Running to Win. Online, reach us at rtwoffer.com. That's rtwoffer.com. Why does God allow some people to be born with severe disabilities? Some have no sight, others lack working limbs. Many ask God why they're afflicted like this. Next time on Running to Win, we'll hear one reason why from the lips of Jesus Himself. We'll turn to John chapter 9 and meet the man who said, "Once I was blind, but now I see." Thanks for listening. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is sponsored by the Moody Church.